Rick,
hello.
What is best in life?
I don't know.
It's Arnie pushing a big wheel.
This big wheel that you hyped so much.
It's the best thing in the movie. It's the only thing I remember from my childhood. Hello, this
Hello.
Is I Hate Your Movie, where we inflict movies on each other for your entertainment. And my name is Dan.
My name is Rick.
And this week, we watched Conan the Barbarian, 1982. I have no notes because my phone died, but so we're just going to wing this.
Yeah, it's fun. You have laptops, pen and paper that you could have made some more notes and you could have at least like the age of the film.
Whatevs.
We're professionals.
Well, I know this. It stars Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It does.
Directed by some guy. The only other notable creator is Oliver Stone.
Oliver Stone.
Who's, I'm just going to read his other movies. See if you can see a theme emerging.
Okay. Is it going to be like the guy who does the Resident Evil movies? Who, whatever name it is, just it's the same film.
It's the opposite.
Oh, really?
So, his films, JFK, Destiny Betrayed.
Okay.
JFK Revisited, Through the Looking Glass, The Putin Interviews, Snowden, The Untold History of the United States, Castro in Winter.
Wow.
Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps, South of the Border, World Trade Center, America Undercover, Comandante, U-Turn, Nixon, and Conan the Barbarian. It's a weird, weird outlier. Yeah, Oliver Stone is this kind of, he directed Platoon.
Yeah.
So he's this kind of like very American political kind of guy who once did a bunch of coke and wrote Conan the Barbarian. He said that.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. So I thought it was funny. It was interesting. So before we really get into it, what is your one sentence review?
My one sentence review is that the title of this film should be changed from Conan the Barbarian to Conan the Animal Abuser.
Yeah.
Oh my god, we're gonna explain that more as we go on, but yeah, he, Conan, the hater of animals.
Conan, puncher of camels.
Yeah.
We'll get to it. I just want to say, despite the animal abuse, which will, because of that, it will lose some points with me.
Yeah.
For sure. I think I love this movie.
Yeah?
Not only I loved it, I think I had a spiritual awakening while we were watching this movie. And I was like, this whole week, I was trying to rack my brain how to explain this to you.
Okay. Do you have a one sentence review?
I did have one.
Yeah.
Which was, this movie promotes such boneheaded stupidity and empty-headedness that it arrives at Nirvana. You know how, like, for Nirvana, you have to, like, clear your mind. And, like, yeah. Tibetan monks spend their entire life trying to clear their mind to reach Nirvana. This movie reaches Nirvana just for its sheer aggressive stupidity.
Now you say something like that, I'm picturing, like a Dude, Where's My Car kind of film where they're just, Dude, Where's My Camel? I want to punch it.
It was a very interesting mix for me. And I've seen this movie before, but I've seen it on VHS.
Mm-hmm.
A long time ago. And I forgot pretty much anything about it other than the big wheel. and I really love it. I can't explain it. You know what it is? In like similar movies that are similarly stupid or attempting it, they're still filled with exposition and like constantly delivering lines. And I think one of the best things this movie does, it just goes quiet mm-hmm. and just be chill for a bit. And there's 50% like chill of just chilling with Arnie, showing his muscles against like a pretty background, or you just see like a pretty landscape or whatever. And 50% of really, really violent imagery. And the mix of that did something to my brain where I'm like, I'm just really loving this because, yeah, it's like a yin and yang kind of situation. It's 50% chill, 50% aggressive. It's really fun.
Yeah, I going into this film, I thought I would absolutely hate it with a passion.
Mm.
And it's just good fun. It's good fun, start to finish.
And I think what Oliver Stone brings to the table, he was on coke, but he's a good writer. Mm-hmm. I think what he was really great at this is just stripping out all the bullshit from like a typical kind of bullshit fantasy script where you get explained everything.
Yeah.
And you know, you just chill with Arnie going along with his adventure and you just know everything because it's obvious what's happening.
One of the best things this film does, and fair play to the writer and to the directors and everything that stuck to the script, is there's like so little dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's so little dialogue and it's really ballsy to make a 2-hour film, yeah, almost
something like
with
that,
with so little dialogue. I think I read that for the first 24 minutes of the film, Arnie doesn't say anything.
He just grunts. He just goes, ow, ow.
Ow, ow. Everybody get down. Get to the chopper.
And then the first thing he says is that what is best in life? The destroying your enemies, lamentation of women, whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow. And then you don't even know, there's two more characters. I think you know the guy's name, the archer's name. I don't, because I don't.
I have no idea.
But I think that's mentioned, but the woman's name is never mentioned. The whole, like, love interest, and she helps out with everything, and she's there most of the movie, never mentioned.
She has a name. It's,
yeah?
I think it's in the credits, or, like... But, yeah, she has a name. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I wrote it down on my notes later, because, yeah, I Googled it.
Well, that's what you have to do, because it never gets mentioned in the movie.
So, yeah, we will be referring to her as the woman, but that's because that's what the way the film is.
Yes.
No complaints, people.
Well, that's what I always say to you, is that, yeah, we got complaints that whenever there's a woman character, she's usually...
The
like
blonde.
Yeah, she's like a discard whatever character. She doesn't have a name. In this one, she literally never gets mentioned. And she's just there and she just hangs around. Like, but to be fair, most of the characters are like that in this film. They just hang around. I just want to add to the stupidity thing. It's not stupidly made. It's a well-made movie, I think. And that's what I think I find really interesting, is that it promotes such aggressive stupidity by not stupid people.
Yeah, for its time, it's very well made. You would probably have like sets 2 or 3 times the size and a bunch of CGI these days. But for its time, it was, especially at the end where there's like, because you spend so many time on these tiny little sets with 2 or 3 people. And at the end, there's like 300 extras out of nowhere.
Yeah. Can we use your notes as well? As a backbone to our discussion?
Well, you can do, but some of them might not be too helpful. My first note is, oh, there's a voiceover. I forgot to listen to what you said.
The reason that didn't bug me this time, which usually bugs me in films when there's a narration, is because it doesn't really matter.
No.
It's like flavor text. It's like he was this strong, and sometimes he drops little story bits, but you see anyway. The way it was set up is that this old grandpa is saying this legend. And he's saying all these like big flowery things, and then you can see the actual thing that's happening. So it felt more like a stylistic choice rather than just delivering exposition.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't a Rebel Moon. There's good guys and bad guys, and the good guy has a king, but the bad guy killed the king, and now there's a war on kind of exposition.
What should be exposition for Conan? There's no good guys.
No.
The only good guys are animal abusers. That's your hero, people.
And my next note is they're forging a sword.
Yeah.
Which I find bizarre, the fact that the sword is the focus of the start, seeing as like Conan never has it. He never has the sword. The dad makes the sword and then gets killed by Darth Vader.
I think he has the sword at the very end. He cuts off James Earl Jones' head with it. I think he gets it from one of the henchmen. The 70s biker henchman is shattered in half and he cuts the bad guy's head off with that.
Okay.
I think so.
I thought that was the sword he finds, because we'll get to it in a little bit, but he has a particular sword. But yeah, the first thing is they forge a sword for Darth Vader to steal.
What stuck out to me in that scene is that montage of the sword making felt like a drawing tutorial, where you're like, step one, draw a circle. Step two, do like a plus sign. Step three, fill in all the details, and it's like a beautifully rendered, you know, face. It felt like that. It was like, hammer the sword. Cool it down. Oh my god, a beautifully decorated sword. It was a
like
bit like that.
Gilded metal and everything.
Yeah, yeah. They don't show the details, how they made the details. They're just like...
They do, though. They do.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, they do. Because I'll tell you what, that was one of my notes. There's a guy chiseling the metal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Can you chisel metal? Is that what you do? I thought you just poured it into a mold and then like sanded it down or something. But can you use a hammer and chisel to shape metal like marble? I don't know. That's what they do in the film.
I guess you can, yeah, we can do the autographs in there, whatever.
Crom.
Can I just say that I love that the god is named Crom? It's like Oliver Stone just sat down, like, what's the dumbest sound I can make a god? Crom. What's the dumbest sound that can come out of Arnie's mouth and sound ridiculous? Crom.
Crom, because this is, if we're still in the intro, Crom is your god. He lives in the earth. There are other gods of fire and wind. Wind comes from the sky, I think was an actual line from the film.
But we don't care about those gods. It's only Crom.
It's only Crom.
There's some lore about that where it's like he defeated the whatevers and whatevers.
Yeah, Crom was defeated and buried in the dirt, yeah.
Okay.
This is your god.
Great.
Crom the loser.
Crom the loser.
Crom the dirt loser. Pray to him.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, so you get this like montage of his beautiful childhood. And you just like immediately, like I write down like, oh, father and mother death incoming. And it did, like immediately.
James Earl Jones rocks up. They have a little staring contest with the mum.
Yes, they do.
And then she just drops the weapon and dies. Well, no.
Well, she gets her head cut off.
She gets her head cut off. But she just stops because James Earl Jones stared at her.
I like that though. It was cool. She didn't just stop. She was just realized she was outnumbered. He just stood there and stared until she realized that she was
going
to die.
Do you think that was it?
Yeah.
I thought that would be some sort of hypnosis going on.
No, I don't think so. Maybe. I mean, he does weirdly turn into a snake later. I didn't see coming at all.
There's a lot of snake imagery going on here.
But before that, before everybody dies, Conan gets passed down from his father that he needs to find the secret of steel, which he never does. By the way, it never goes anywhere. Like I really thought that he would at least become like a blacksmith and make his own sword, and you know, he'd find the secret of steel, and his sword would be better than the sword his father made, and there'd be a battle at the end, and you know, he found the secret, so it's surpassed his. None of it, just none of it at all.
You can argue that the secret of the steel is just to use it and fucking slay on enemies, which he does.
Secret of steel is to put it into like a massive, muscly Austrian man's hands and send him in.
Has been like training all his life, pushing a big wheel all his life.
So yeah, if you got to find the secret of steel, and I think it mentions it later in the film, but again, it doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah,
but it doesn't matter. It's fine.
How can you take this movie seriously and want, you know, a proper setup and payoff? I don't even feel cheated by that. I just feel like that. Yeah,
no, I know.
That's what the movie is. Yeah. It's just a bunch of dumb shit.
I love the next bit as well because it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. So he gets kidnapped and he gets put in like this chain gang of like 10-year-old kids, and they all get made to push a big wheel. Doesn't tell you what the big wheel does.
I hope it's like pointless. I hope it's I hope it's nothing. It's like just subjugation for no benefit whatsoever.
I hope it just like operates a toilet or something.
A snake lift. It's in the middle of nowhere too.
I hope it's like just somehow heating up someone's coffee.
It looks like a mill for grains.
Mm.
But I don't know. Could be anything really. Could be just for shits and giggles.
But the thing that it just makes no sense whatsoever, because you've gone into a village full of like perfectly healthy adults, and then you've taken the 10-year-olds to push this massive wheel. It's like, it's the worst people you could have got for your hard labor, and they're pushing this wheel, and then like slowly it fades and like all the legs
drop off.
Yeah, all the legs disappear, so you know it's just Conan on his own, pushing a big wheel on his own.
Yeah.
Because Conan has the strength of 10 children.
I'd love to see if, like, one of those kids returns and, like, oh my God, he's still doing this. He could have left. He just didn't realize his, like, shackles are free and no one cares anymore.
Big wheel. Now he's massive.
Yeah.
He has to fight.
If you were, like, 6 years old or whatever, and you were made to push a big wheel until you become an adult.
Until you become a massive Austrian man.
Yeah. I think that would... Biology is definitely not my forte. But I think that would mess with your height and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
If you build up a lot of muscle when you're a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a theory.
Could you imagine him being like 5 foot and that muscly?
Yeah, that's all I do.
What I love about the next part of the film is that he has absolutely no moral qualms about fighting in this fighting pit.
Well, like, he's totally brain dead at this point. He can't, I think he can't speak like properly, because I think he's been pushing this wheel for 15 years. He's totally dumbfounded at everything that happens. He's like a baby that's not been socialized and just let go, you know, after 15 years. He's a big baby, a big muscular baby, who just accidentally is good at fighting because he's got big muscles.
But yeah, it's so amazing. So many films, you get lots of films where people go into like fighting pits and they're like, oh no, I don't want to kill. Oh, and they back away for a little while and they get all scared and then they heroically save the day, or they accidentally stab the guy in the eye or whatever. Yeah. No, none of that. Just no, it just goes in, bam, bam, bam.
And he's
you.
Happy about it. I was yeah. Like, I win.
He does.
Grump. Grump. That name will never not be funny to me.
No, you're right, actually. Yeah, so you're right. So it was in the next bit. So he says, I think the narrator says that he learns to read and write.
Yeah, but like you can see on his face, you can see he has no idea what's going on most of the time. And then they actually do a good job, I think, through montage. They show him, you know, in different armors, fighting differently. Mm-hmm. And you kind of can see, I don't know if that was Arnie or the director, but you can kind of see on him that he's switching on his brain faculties. Like, he's more and more aware of what he's doing, I think.
As much as Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes, well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's been having a fun episode so far. But there is he gets to, they feed him women. like
he takes them like King Kong to his lair.
Like pretty much, yeah. Like it's pretty dark when you actually think about it, because like they put this woman in his room because he's supposed to like be like breeding stock. He's like the bull.
Is that what you thought it was? I thought it was just giving him, like, you know, rewards for his fights.
I think it does mention that to have, like, children.
Okay.
I think so.
It's mini Arnie's running around.
It's mini muscly babies.
Mini muscly babies. Running around
punching up a babies. Toddler group.
I thought it was just reward.
Sorry, the baby went. Sorry, what you're saying?
I thought it was just reward.
No, I don't think it was, because she went into it. She was like cowering and she was like, ooh, da-da, ooh.
Yeah, well, I didn't think that the woman chose herself as a reward. I thought that another slaver chose that woman as a reward for Arnie.
Yeah, just get some hookers though, right? Well, you gotta put some unwilling person in there.
Okay.
So it's like I said, it's pretty fucking dark.
Let me put you in this scenario. You're put in a cage with a giant Austrian man with muscles.
With a heart on.
You can't speak. You can't speak English or anything. What do you do? You know, you would be cowering even if you're like the most confident whore in all the realm. Episode title.
Well, actually I am.
Yeah. You'd be like, oh shit, what did I get myself into?
Shit, it's a tree.
That's the only time where I felt like the filmmakers have some apprehension about showing what kind of character Arnie is. Because the lady comes in, you know, showing boobs or whatever, and Arnie puts something on her. Or like,
yeah.
Come on. And then he just puts her, he just passes her over and fucks her anyway. Like, you know, like, what's the point of...
Maybe because everyone's watching. There's like 10 dudes outside the cage watching, looking in.
They can still watch him. They're just a bit, you know, 2 meters or whatnot, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's the only time I felt like maybe they don't want to, you know, show him as a complete molester.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just an adequate amount of molester.
Just give him like a little bit of...
There's your episode title. Adequate amount of molester.
Yep. Hey, you are in a barbarian world. Adequate amount of molester is like basically a good guy. It's basically Jesus.
He gets freed.
I don't know.
Did it explain how, like, or why? I think someone just comes up and, like, unlocks his chain. It was like,
his slaver, who looks like fucking Papa Smurf or whatever. He's got a big red beard. That's not what Papa Smurf looks like.
No.
He looked like a garden gnome or something, or like a Lord of the Rings dwarf, but human size. He's his slaver. And then I think you can just see on his face. Again, it's one of the great things of a movie. Don't explain everything. I think he just felt sorry for him at this point of using him for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, doesn't really fit into this world as, like, everyone's doing slavery and horribleness. Why would you get rid of your best asset?
The size Conan is, he could just escape.
Yeah, it was a bit weird when he's, like, still, like, following around, like, all sheepish and everything. He could just, like, break his chains and break his neck.
What, at some point, he's going to have to go from A to B with chains on. Like, who's holding that chain? Fuck that.
There's the guy holding him in the chains, right? And then Arnold shows him something, and he lifts the guy up with the chains.
Crumb.
Crumb. I think maybe that was also part of that he was kind of brain dead.
Yeah.
That he just, like, doesn't even understand what it's not like to be a slave. And he gets chased by wolves or dogs.
Dogs. Gets chased by dogs. And thus the animal abuse begins.
With the dogs?
Yeah. He falls into this random temple and finds, like, an old
tomb
of a guy sitting, a skeleton sitting on the chair.
He says, Crumb.
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 So it must be Crumb's tomb.
He picks up this, like, 300-year-old sword and then just, like, taps it on a rock.
And all the rust comes off.
All the rust comes off. It's, like, encased in, like, stone, and it's fine, and it's the best sword. And he uses that sword for the rest of the film.
Yes.
And just the one Oh, my God. It's like playing Skyrim, and just imagine finding the first sword and taking it all the way to the final battle.
Now I've seen people beat Skyrim with a fork.
Really?
You can find... There's two types of forks in Skyrim. This is very important for the podcast. And one that you can use as a weapon.
Okay.
And it's found in a really weird place on the mountain where the priests are.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to fall off at a weird place and then find it. And then you can enchant it with all sorts of stuff. And you can just kill whatever with it. It's really fun. Why he falls into this tomb... I just thought it was very funny because he's let go. He's not a slave anymore. Straight cut to he's chased by dogs. It's like, great. Thanks, master. And fun fact, in that scene, the dogs really chased Arnold. He was really running for his life.
Really?
Because apparently, like, the dog trainer couldn't keep the dogs calm. And they were genuinely fearing for his life. So it was and he hurt himself doing that. It's like Commando, that you can't find a guy who's, like, as big as him. So he had to do most of his stunts.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, he genuinely hurt himself. And when you see that dog chasing, he was not acting. He was like, fuck this. He just let go on him.
And the next scene, he's just, like, wearing all their pelts.
Yeah, we know what happened.
One of the things I like about this film.
Is this going to be one of the accidental 7 out of 10? Because it seemed like you actually liked it. You didn't seem like you liked it when we were watching it.
When we were watching it, I thought it was too long.
Okay.
But remembering it, I'm remembering it a lot more fondly than I experienced it. Yeah, like, one of the things I like is, so he escapes, and then he finds this, like, sexy priestess woman.
Oh, yeah.
And then, so she's like, hey. And he's just, like, they don't even hide it. He's just staring at her chest. Mm-hmm. Like, he just, like...
Yeah, because he's a big baby who's... Who doesn't know what to have to flirt or anything. He just wants to fuck.
And so it goes into a thing. She becomes a vampire.
Yeah, like a lizardy something.
Lizardy vampire.
As they're having sex.
Yeah. And then they have a little fight and she runs away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. There's no reason for that. It just happened. It's part of the film.
Well, didn't she say something like, you're going to be a great warrior or something?
That's it, though. Does it matter? No.
No.
No, it doesn't matter at all. It's just like a random... Oh, look, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Cool.
Go put on some fantasy stuff in your fantasy movie. Because you were worried that it's going to be all like orcs and like dwarves with like lots of makeup, like labyrinth style or whatever. It's really not that. But it is a very like low powered fantasy. There's some wizards, there's some magic, there's some lizard ladies who wants to fuck you, but that's about it.
The best bit about that one is they're making out and he looks at her and she's like this lizard thing with like vampire teeth or whatever, and he just like turns and throws her into the fire. Nope, done with that.
He was gonna do that anyway. But later. Yeah, the bluntness of this movie is really funny. Just throw a woman into a fire, whatever. Didn't even think twice about it.
And then he meets his sidekick. He's just like, he's walking through the desert. Oh, there's a guy. No,
he's
a guy
changing. Wait. He's right outside of that woman he fucked, the lizard woman.
No, I don't think
he's
she...
right there. He walks outside. There's like the little partition or whatever.
Right.
Little curtain. And he's right outside in there. And he's just there chained up. I remember that specifically. He's there chained up just outside the house. And he's like, what are you doing here? I'm a slave. And then they just tag along. And that's it. That's all the introduction you need. For your secondary comic relief character.
See, I thought it was worse than that. I thought it was just the next scene and he was walking through the desert and he just found a guy chained to a wall.
I mean
it could be either.
Is that worse?
Yes.
I don't know with this movie is an anomaly. It goes against all my screenwriting brain. It's like it's terribly written, but I love it. I don't know why. And it's not even in a bad, funny way. I just love it.
We should have recorded us watching this film because it was really funny.
Oh, it was really funny.
Talk about like terribly written. It's the conversation those two immediately have about their gods.
Yeah. I remember that.
And it's, I don't know if it's meant to be a joke or it's meant to be funny, but it's like, who's your god? My god is Krum. Krum comes from the earth. That is, there's a...
It's like two toddlers trying...
My god comes from the sky. My god is more powerful than your god. No, Krum...
It's literally like that. It's like two toddlers arguing about who their god is.
My god can beat up your god.
Yeah. Oh my god, I kind of forgot about that. That was so funny.
He's strong. If I die, I have to go before him. And he will ask me, what is the riddle of steel? And if I don't know it, he will cast me out of Valhalla and laugh at me. That's Krum. Strong on his mountain.
Yeah, my god is greater.
Krum laughs at your four winds.
And they go on weird and wonderful adventures together.
Yeah.
So I think this is the first point you see like any kind of civilization. Like you saw the fighting pits, but you saw like the town they go through.
Another high point of the movie that comes up is they walk through a town and Arnie sees all these weird and wonderful creatures, including like
you see an elephant.
Elephant. You said
because they eat like a squirrel on a stick. Yeah. And he walks past an elephant, and I fully expected Arnie to be holding an elephant on a stick.
One more. They see a lot of weird and wonderful creatures. There's New World animals and African animals and Asian animals living together somehow. You know, there's like a llama.
It's a fantasy world,
I guess. So this one where like the continents were joined or something, I don't know.
It's just, I mean, the filmmakers just went to the local zoo. It's like, what can we borrow? can we have a camel? Yeah, nice. Yeah. Elephant, let's go.
But what's weird is like they could have made just a little bit of effort and like put like some Star Trek forehead bumps on one of those animals and like, oh my god, it's a fantasy animal. Yeah. You know,
put a horn on horse.
Yeah, something like that. But then Arnie sees a camel and a camel comes
in
his face.
They get really drunk and he like turns around and the camel in his face.
And what happens?
God.
He fucking punches the camel straight up. Like not even thinking about it. I think he's kind of has his back to it and he's halfway turning around and the camel comes into his face and he's like, what the fuck? And he punches it. Like that's his first thing, the first thought that comes into his mind.
Here's a question. Did he actually punch that camel?
I think you can fake that, but there's later things that you can't fake.
I don't think you can fake that because the camel's head goes like swings out to the right.
It felt to me that it was kind of lying down in a controlled fashion.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I have to rewatch it to see. I could see either way, especially based on the end of this film.
And again, the thing about this film is, like, he in no way portrayed as a hero.
No.
I think at this point he goes into, like, a tavern or something. And he's like, yeah, I'm a thief. I'm going to go steal something from the snake tower.
Yeah, he's weirdly aimless for a person who's been a slave and who's got, like, a... I don't know if he's thinking about it constantly, but that's what is in normal movies, is that he thinks about vengeance, you know. But for a person with vengeance on his mind and, you know, being scarred as a slave, he's just weirdly chill about
that. Yeah, he's got like a vague notion of vengeance, you know, like, oh, you know, if I'm in the room with a guy,
yeah,
like, I'll do something about it, but I'm not going to search it out.
Yeah, this is where we meet Lady.
Lady. Lady fighter.
Lady... thief or rogue.
Yeah.
This kind of feels like a D&D campaign.
Do you know what? I read a lot of stuff when I was looking up Conan, and there was like a lot of things that mentioned D&D.
Really?
Yeah, like they said the second one is the perfect D&D movie.
Oh, I don't think I've seen a second one. I know about it, but...
But like, I did wonder, I meant to ask or look it up, like, is this actually based on like Dungeons & Dragons at all?
No, there's a Conan comic book.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of like Tarzan. It's a very old comic book by... I actually know the artist and not the writer who was credited, but it's called James Frazetta. It's just beautiful artwork. And it's very well translated here. Like when he gets crucified, it's like properly looks like the artwork. It's really cool.
Oh, wow, cool.
Yeah. I never read the comics. Now I kind of want to. but it is one of those super long running series where it's like Superman or whatever, where it's just basically constantly changes and whatever they come up with kind of thing. And it's just popular because it was early.
Yeah.
I don't think it was... Or Judge Dredd is another good example, I think. I think it's just popular because it's been around for a long time. I mean, it's not popular now, but it used to be.
Yeah.
Like, crazy long time. It's like one of the most popular comic book series ever. And there's Red Sonja. They made the Red Sonja movie as well, and Arnie's in there for 5 minutes.
Really?
And that one's the really low budget one.
Starting that. Shared universe, y'all.
Yeah, it's shared universe before Marvel. They did the Conan-iverse.
The Conan...
The Crumb-iverse.
Schwarzenegger-verse.
Can we marry the term MCU and Crumb somehow?
The Marvel Crumb-avatar universe.
Conan Crumb-avatar universe. No, but it does feel D&D-ish. And especially how Arnie's acting. He's like that dickhead friend who never played D&D and just fucks around all day on the campaigns and doesn't, not really role playing, just like thinks what he can get away with.
Yeah.
That's what Arnie does in this movie.
Yeah, like in the campaign, a ghost appears. I'm going to punch it. No, please don't punch it.
Yeah.
Like this has actual consequences. No, I'm going to punch it. I'm going to stab it in the face. No, please don't. Fine, you stabbed it in. Oh, we're all dead. How? What a surprise.
Hey, but in this movie, he gets away with it somehow.
It's like starting a campaign with like a level 50 barbarian.
So let's talk about the very important character of Lady.
Yes, Lady Assassin Thief.
And then we talked about the very important character of the lady. She's Lady.
She's being badass, to be fair. Like, she has a fair amount to do.
Yeah.
And does it well. My favorite bit, where, like, when you get introduced to her, is so they're in the temple and they've broken in, and she creeps up behind a woman and she's kind of standing there, and then it cuts away and then cuts back, and she's standing there in the woman in woman's clothes.
Yeah, you can just imagine what happened there.
Yeah,
they're getting hypnotized by a snake man who's swaying, and then they get sacrificed to the big snake downstairs.
Yeah, there is a big old snake.
Big old stop-motion/puppet snake. One of the better effects in this movie.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
There's one effect later on that's a puppet that I thought was really silly. But we'll get to that. But yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, so I think this is where like Conan, like, and again, he's Conan the animal abuser. Because not only does he kill the snake.
Oh, yeah.
He kills the snake. But there's this completely unnecessary scene where they're, like, crawling through the dungeon. And it shows, like, rats on the floor. And then you see him, like, kick a rat.
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't see it from like, you see it from like waist high. So you see him do a kick motion and there's like rapping across the screen.
I thought you were going to talk about how the snake gets killed, because the snake gets killed and then they shoot 10 more arrows into it and then cut its head off and then and then smash its corpse open, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like they just don't stop. Like it died like 10 minutes ago and it's gone cold.
And it's so funny, all of this happens, right? Because it cuts like between the people praying and this happening and the people praying and this happening. And then all the while, this woman is obviously about to get thrown into the pit. She gets thrown into this pit and it's like, oh, it's down there.
Yeah.
The priest is standing there looking down into the pit and he didn't notice any of it going on. Because she drops in and she's like, oh my God, a snake's here and it's dead. Like, how do you,
well,
you just saw Arnie, like, he's not a quiet man, you know, like, he's down in the pit, like, boom, 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 boom.
They're crushing the snake's skull open with the hammer or whatever, you know? I think that lady was more reacting that the snake god or whatever that she was about to be sacrificed to died, and not that there's a big snake down there. I think she knew. I think she's about to be sacrificed. So she was more like...
She's screaming that she wasn't about to get
sacrificed. Yeah, it was like, oh my God, I used my best makeup for this. And I'm not even going to get sacrificed.
I'm here about a big snake.
And then they steal a very important jewel.
The MacGuffin.
Usually, I think MacGuffins are usually more meaningful in movies. as silly as it sounds, you know?
Yeah.
It's just kind of there, and they sometimes mention it, that it does something important, but it never does.
So, yeah, I think because he runs into the snake people, this is where he gets, like, there's like a necklace on a wall.
Yeah.
And he picks it up, and it's the same one that killed his parents. And he remembers, oh, shit, yeah, I'm supposed to be on a vengeance quest. An hour into this film after my parents died. Oh, shit, yeah, fuck, I should get on that.
How can I forget?
And he leaves everyone behind.
Mm-hmm.
I found that really funny. I thought, oh, great. He's just gone through meeting all of these people for nothing.
Wow.
It does come back up.
It does come back. They steal all the gems.
Yeah, yeah.
Very clearly, like, plasticky. The acrylic cubes from our game. The Singularity Hacks.co.uk.
They steal, like, the six-year-old's My First Necklace Making Kit.
Oh, was that like a charm bracelet?
Yeah.
You can eat some of them. It's like...
That'd be amazing if in the Kona pill there was just bits of candy.
Candy necklaces, yeah. And bracelets.
Someone should parody this film and do that.
I mean, this film is a parody of itself, if anything, honestly. You don't have to stretch the logic too far anymore. Like, well, you can't. Yeah, you know? It's already really stupid.
I think we should make it. We should be the Black Dynamite to Conan's human tornado.
Maybe, yeah. I'll tell you one like product idea I had for this movie, and I looked it up and it doesn't exist.
Okay.
So I either do it, somehow make this before we release this podcast, or I put it out to the world to make this, because I kind of want it. I want a Conan crucifix. for real. Just, I couldn't find it online.
Super muscly guy on a cross.
Yeah, and people like, you know, when he's far away, you can be like, oh, he's Christian. Then you go close, it's like, that looks like a tree. That doesn't look like a crucifix. Why is there vultures on it? I just think that's a funny idea. We meet Max von Sydow is in this movie, as in what? All movies. You don't know who Max von Sydow is? He's the exorcist in The Exorcist.
Okay.
But like, if you want something more recent, he was that weird old guy Bran trains with in Game of Thrones.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he's been around ages. So many different movies. You know, he's the king, and that's when he turns, because...
Oh, yes, yes, he is.
There's debauchery,
yeah.
And there's comedy where Arnie drinks himself to the point where he drops into his porridge, and he uses all the gold and all the candy necklaces in the whole kingdom to pay for his lavish lifestyle, and then he gets brought in front of a king, and the king goes like, oh, they stole my daughter, or they recruited my daughter, mm-hmm. more like.
My daughter's joined this cult.
Yeah. Can you get her for me? And they just give them more, like, jewels. Like, why would you... He stole from them.
No, he didn't.
That was their city, and he said that the snake people were like just occupying this tower. So that was their stuff. And then he's like, he gives them more stuff to go after the daughter, even though they were just drunk in a pub.
Yeah, I think like the snake people were like an occupying force. It was like the church that the king didn't agree with.
Yeah.
Like the king wanted his own gods, Crumb.
I don't think anyone else believes in Crumb. No, I think Arnie is the last one. They believe in the wind gods. My god, wind. My god, earth. My god, strong. Stronger than your god.
Crumb laps with your four winds.
I think he goes to the temple on his own. Does he go to where?
Yes.
I don't really know what happened. I can't really remember what happened to him. Because I remember he gets caught, captured,
yes,
and chained up.
I love
crucified.
This. Yes, I love this. So this is the first time we see like the crowds. And like people are crowded near this like snake temple.
With their white pointy hoods.
White pointy hoods. Which is interesting.
Worshipping James L. James.
Yeah. Who's going to tell them? Who's going to break the news? Or does he not count because he's a secret snakey boy? If you're a snake, you can, you know, you can be part of the KKK. That was a very funny scene. I love that scene. Because, yeah, he goes up to the big KKK meeting and he's like, doesn't know what to do. So he finds the priest. Do you remember this?
Not really, no.
I love this. He wants to steal the priest's clothes.
Oh, no, I do. Yes, I do.
And it takes ages for... It's, like, very obvious what's happening. I think he makes, like, a gay gesture in terms of, like...
Yeah.
In terms of, like, oh, I want to wear my KKK robes, but I'm very shy.
Yeah.
Do you want to come with me?
Where can I change?
Do you want to come with me and, you know, help me or whatever? Something like that. And it takes for ages for him to just beat him up, which should have happened like 5 minutes ago. And then he emerges and he's still like, even though he's wearing the same robes, because he's a giant Austrian man, still sticks out like a lot.
My favorite bit about that is the guy he steals the robes from is like 5'5" and skinny.
Yeah.
And he just, Arnie walks out with these perfectly fitting robes.
Oh, we didn't talk about the fucking wizard.
The narrator.
We made the narrator. Yeah, I mean, there's not much to talk about him. Other than what I didn't understand was this thing where Arnie goes to him and is like, oh, I'm collecting flowers.
Yes.
And he uses that later to his advantage.
Gives flowers? I don't know who he gives flowers to.
At first I thought to the girl he loves. But then I think he just takes it to the cult because he thinks it's a cult. They must be offering flowers. I don't know, man.
Every day they were told. And what happens when he gets crucified? What does he do?
Oh my god. Well, he prays to Crumb.
Yeah, but what does he do to the animal?
Well, the awkward puppet. So yeah, he's crucified to a tree. They literally say crucify him, which is interesting. And he has like two condors, not even vultures. They're like great American condors, like perched on this tree and waiting for him to die, obviously. And then one of the condors gets peckish and he starts pecking at Arnold. Arnold just bites his fucking neck and then spits it out.
Just bites a vulture to death.
Yeah. That was the awkward special effect because it looked like a very stiff puppet that had no articulation at all. It's like a stuffed animal. You just shake it at the end, you know? It looked very jarring.
And then the archer comes back out of nowhere. Just turns up. Yeah, he's there.
I think they'd follow his big man trail. I don't know.
Giant footprints in the sand.
Yeah, when Arnie goes with the emblem and asks everyone for directions, where's the snake called? He keeps saying two snakes coming together.
I'm like getting the feeling of coming in the gym. I'm getting the feeling of coming at home. I'm getting the feeling of coming backstage when I pump up, when I pose out in front of 5,000 people, I get the same feeling. So I'm coming day and night. I mean, it's terrific.
Yeah, so Arnie dies.
Oh, yeah.
Arnie dies.
Almost forgot.
Do you know what? I will give this film some credit, right?
Whoa.
For the special effects of, like, the demons coming to get him.
Yeah, it looked cool. It looked otherworldly. And then, crucially, girlfriend says, I will, even if I die, I'll come back for Conan. And make sure that he gets into Crumb Heaven or whatever she says. That comes up later.
Randomly.
And then result in a very weird way. I mean, it is a set of payoff, but it's the simplest way of doing it, you know? Like, there's no twist to it whatsoever.
At this point, it's got probably got the most amount of plot in the film total.
Sure.
because they've been hired by the king to go rescue the daughter from Darth Vader. So that's what they do. But does she need rescuing? That was my biggest question, because they rock up at this temple and, like, you've got all these lavish things. You've got, like, comfortable stuff around. You've got wine on tap. You've got food, soup with hands in it.
Everything you want.
It's good. You know, there's all these beautiful people and they're having a big orgy. And Conan comes up to rescue her from that. You come leave all these beautiful people and all the wine and all the food, and you come with me back to your father's cave in a hall.
Yeah.
No.
Where he spent all his money already. And his empire is crumbling. Well, I don't know. Should we rescue people from cults if they believe in it?
If their standard of life is incredibly better, then no.
Hey, if your boyfriend can turn into a snake, why not? Go for it.
I found that bizarre, to be honest. In fact, he turned into a snake. And there's the weird mask effect where they push through a snake.
And then all of a sudden he's snake.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, because there wasn't enough snake motifs, I think, in the movie. I wish these are the kind of times where I wish we were like a visual video podcast, because then I would just throw up like 100 different snake imagery from any one scene. There's so many snakes everywhere. The snakes, the snake statues, the pillars are snaky. People are swaying in the wind like a snake charm thing. There's not a single inch of this movie that's not snake.
And the best bit of all, because it's in the next scene when they're escaping, it's the snake arrows.
Oh, snake arrows!
So, James Earl Jones pulls the snake from his pocket, because, you know, why not?
He makes it really hard.
He does. He's like, I don't know if can't remember if he sings a song to it, or he goes...
I think he just like runs his fingers along it and it becomes hard. As you do.
That's how it works. It's like the opposite of when you're trying to like do a ribbon and it turns into like coils.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like you pull it and a snake goes completely hard. And then they put it in a bow and arrow and shoot it at the woman. It's so stupid.
It's so stupid it happens twice. They were not shy about using that snake arrow. Oh yeah, the girlfriend dies.
Yeah, she gets poisoned.
Mm-hmm.
No big wizard ceremony for her to come back.
Augustus is it. August break up time.
Oh, she's dead. Me find new woman.
Yeah.
Oh no. Anyway.
Yeah, when she reappears again from the underworld or whatever.
Yeah.
She should have been like, so have you tried the magic revival ritual? Have you tried to fight the demons off of me?
He's like, do you remember when I fought demons to save your life? What have you been doing? Punching camels. Let's talk about some horse abuse.
Oh my lord. It's the best and the worst scene of this movie.
Yeah.
And any movie, probably.
Oh my god. So, yeah, they've built this set, and it's a normal, like...
Well, Conan does Home Alone.
Yeah.
Conan sets up Home Alone, you know, paint can. And,
yeah, he sets up spikes on a pit.
Yeah.
You know, spikes on a wall. And he sets like a spring trap for
the
spikes.
giant spike. Would just like, I don't know, that would punch a human sized hole inside you. You know?
The bad guys come on horses. Hello.
Two snakes coming together.
So I'm coming day and night.
The bad guys arrive on horses. And. Oh my god. They look like genuine spikes, like wooden spikes.
They are, yeah.
Ground.
Yeah.
And like you see horses trip up and fall on them.
Yeah.
And like they fall over them and they all collapse down the hill and the extras as well.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ.
Like, I think the worst one is there's one where I was like, really, I was like, you can't fake this in any way, shape or form. Because what happens is there's a guy riding a horse and I think they had like a fishing line or whatever. And a horse trips, it slides on the ground.
Yeah.
And then falls over and it tore the spikes.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's another one where, like, the Arnie or the Archer, that someone's riding a horse and whoever it is jumps from a wall, but genuinely grab it and they fall on the horse and the horse completely wipes out on its side. And, like you say, skids for about a meter and then just gets up and runs away. Fucking hell. That's just two examples, and there's like 10 minutes
of loads of it. I think the worst one is the tripping up the horse. It slides on the ground and then it tumbles into the fucking stakes, and it, like, the movie cuts a millisecond before the horse would be impaled on the stakes. It was just like tumbling down towards it, like, who knows what happened.
Like, one of them falls completely down the hill on the spikes or one of the extra, like, people. It's brutal.
I didn't feel much for the people, is that weird? Although they probably were hurt as well. I'm surprised nobody died. Is this an amazing thing, or should we shun this movie? Poor handling animals.
We didn't check, actually. We were going to look at the end of the credits to see if no animals were harmed in the making of this film. Because I'll tell you now, if that's there, it's a lie.
Oh, yeah.
They just had the one RSPCA guy. Hey, guy, do you want to just take a trip into village for like an hour? Let's just go get some coffee, yeah? And they filmed this entire scene, came back. I was like, oh, it's fine.
Hey, RSPCA guy, you have two choices. Either go into town or go on this horse with the fishing line in front of it. They gave him a choice. I mean, like, there's no action movie like this nowadays. It's just
God, no. And probably rightly so.
Probably rightly so. But I don't know. There's something magical about this. Even though I really don't like the animal abuse, there's something magical about all this, like, real stunts.
Yeah.
The only other movie that's like this hardcore is like the original Mad Max. But yeah, it's pretty on par.
We're at the end now.
Yeah.
Because the James Earl Jones gets killed. And then again, it's fucking hilarious. Because James Earl Jones lives in this stone temple.
Yeah.
It's completely made out of stone. It's like the freaking pyramid. And then all the cultists immediately turn their back on him when he dies. No one takes over. It's like, I'm the leader now. It's just like, oh, he's dead. We're done here. Bye. And they all throw their fire sticks at this stone tower, and it just catches fire.
You missed a crucial bit, which is James Earl Jones says that he's Conan's father.
Oh, yeah.
In a very weird technical way.
I made you because
you are revenge, and I am. You wouldn't live without me, so I am your father. And then what does Conan do? Does he go, no, it can't be, it's impossible. And he just cuts his fucking head off. And like, yeah! That's like the Conan spirit, you know? That's like big emotional revelation, whatever, stupid aggression, boss stab, barbarity. That encapsulates this movie perfectly. Did they just put that in because James Earl Jones?
I don't know. It might have been. When did you say this film was released?
82. So Star Wars was right around the same time.
79 was Star Wars, right?
The original one, but
oh, yeah, Empire.
Empire was like, might have been 82.
I think James Earl Jones put it in there. Right, I've got this other film I'm doing, right? And he has this line. I bet we can tie these up.
I bet I can be typecast as people's fathers for the rest of my life. And then King Conan.
Yeah, then you get like a, Conan was going to be doing great in the days to come.
Mm-hmm. What's his tax policy?
It's just have the next scene where he's wearing like some little nerdy glasses.
Yeah, because I always think about how like George R. R. Martin said that one of the original ideas for Game of Thrones was, what's Aragorn's tax policy after Lord of the Rings? So I'm just thinking, like, what's Curtis' tax policy?
Kill
Crom. What, 20%?
Die.
But sir, we gotta do diplomacy.
Murder.
Send them to the wheel. Send them to the forever wheel.
Crumb.
Yay! So, what would you rate this movie?
So, you've done it. You have accidentally done it. If you would have asked me after this film ended, it would have been a 6.
Yeah, you look really bored. And I'm like, I gotta be honest with you. I don't think I've ever had this much fun watching a movie with you.
Okay.
I had just so much fun watching this movie. Genuinely.
Yeah, if you'd asked me straight after the film, it would be a 6.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's too long.
Yeah.
And the reason it's not an 8 or a 9 is because it is too long.
Mm-hmm.
And there are too many scenes. As funny as they are, like, there is too many scenes that are just unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
There's too much walking through the desert unnecessarily. And there's too much, like, weird witch vampire ladies for no good reason.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of him being a thief and not actually continuing the plot in any way, shape or form.
Yeah, he's just a lot of feffing around.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's the charm of this movie.
It is. And looking back on it, it is. But yeah, I think you could definitely cut a lot of like establishing shots. And then you'd keep it tighter.
I kind of like that it was like chill. Yeah. Because what I imagine, like in a kind of regular Hollywood movie, a producer would come in and is like, it's too much quiet stuff. People should be talking. People are going to turn off the, you know, the cinema or whatever. You're going to turn off the, people are going to turn off the VHS because there's nothing happening. And then no, they had restraint. They went like, nope. No one's just, we're just going to do chill. And it's going to be a chill moment. And I really respect them for that.
So yeah, it's a 7.
So the highest movie that I've ever showed you, that you ever rated.
Of all of the really high quality, well-made films.
That The Thing, Amadeus, oh my God, The Good, Bad and the Ugly. It's fucking Conan the Barbarian.
It's just, it knows what it is and it does it well.
Yay, I've done it. Now it's Road to 8.
Ooh. Now you're in it. At that point, I feel like you've got to have like a seriously good film, you know? I don't think there's a film that's like a fuck about stupidity kind of thing that is ever going to reach like an 8.
Okay. I would rate this an 8.
Yeah?
And I've just been battling in my head like what to give it because it is one of those movies that kind of defies rating to me.
Okay.
But if I just go just with my enjoyment, I'll go 8 out of 10. Could be a 9 if it wasn't so much animal abuse. It definitely is a negative. So what's your recommendation?
What, for the next movie?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a film you've seen before.
Whoa.
Right? I'm sure you have. We watched The Net, right? And it was one of my favourite films of, like, the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
I remember loving that film. So I'm on a bit of a trend. And I'm going to go with what was my absolute 100% favourite film when I was younger. When I must have been about 14, 15 or whatever. And we're going to watch the original The Crow.
Okay, cool. I did see it. I don't remember a single thing about it.
Mm.
So it's as if I had never watched it.
I loved that film. Mm-hmm. Passion. I haven't watched it probably for about 10 years, maybe more. So I'm really interested to see. I thought The Net really held up, to be honest with you. I thought it was an interesting watch.
Okay. Crow.
Crow.
We did that at the same time.
Bye.
Bye.
Dead Poets Society. Children of Men.
Enough talk.
Whiplash.
The hell with you.
Doctor Strangelove.